Do you have something in your home that you've had or held onto for years, even though you may not like it, like a piece of furniture? Maybe you've tried to decorate around this piece, but are finding it isn't easy to do so. So you get stuck and feel frustrated, and then do nothing because you don't know what to do or how to make this piece work in your home. This is a common problem I deal with all the time with my design clients and my design students. Well, in this episode, we'll talk about how emotional attachments to furniture or other items in our homes can actually hurt your home design and get in the way of you creating your dream house. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Welcome to Home and Nestorations, the podcast that helps you design and decorate your home with confidence. I'm your host, interior designer, and Best of House winner, Sally Sorcelli, here to help you create a home you'll love. Whether you're a homeowner, a design enthusiast, or a budding interior designer, you're in the right place for all things home and design. Thanks for listening. Welcome to this week's episode, which might make you a little uncomfortable and ruffle a few feathers because we're talking about emotional attachments that we have to things in our homes that can actually hurt our designs. This might be a tough topic to talk about, but I wouldn't be doing you any favors if I skipped over this, because it's actually a big hurdle that I see with a lot of my design clients. And so it's important that this gets its own episode. So first, what can we get emotionally attached to in our homes? And like I said, I see this a lot with my design clients, and it's actually hugely common. It mostly happens with furniture, although you can get emotionally attached to other items like art, rugs, accessories, lighting. But furniture really is what causes the biggest challenges and stumps you because it's the biggest and it dictates your design. So maybe you inherited a piece of furniture from your parents, your grandparents, or another relative, or you bought a piece of furniture years ago, or even recently that isn't working out so well. And you wish you didn't buy it, but you're kind of stuck with it. Well, when furniture causes problems with our home design, it's often because of a few reasons. One, we don't really like the item anymore. Two, you bought something that just didn't work, whether that's an impulse purchase or a planned purchase, and you can't return it. Super frustrating when we can't make returns. Three, it doesn't fit in your design style, which does change over time. And four, the size or style of the piece doesn't fit well in your home. This happens a lot when we move from one home to another. Those are the reasons that we can get emotional attachments. Now let's talk about the types of emotional attachments that we can get. There's three of them. And before we go into the three types, I do want to point out that getting rid of things in our lives can be really hard. I get it. It's helpful to ask yourself why you're holding on to an item. And often it comes down to one of these three types of emotional attachments. The first type of emotional attachment, I think, is actually the easiest to work on and let go of. And that is an emotional attachment because of money. We're focusing on something and the value of it. So you hold on to something because you think, well, I spent blank on this and I can't get rid of it and waste all that money. You might have a fear that if you get rid of this thing, you won't have anything else. The second type of attachment, emotional attachment we can get, is guilt. My grandmother, my parent, my friend gave this to me, and they'll be upset if I don't keep it. The third type of emotional attachment we can get to furniture or other items is sentimental. You have something from a loved one, like a family member, friend, trip, or experience that means a lot to you. Now, we'll talk about all of these types and also things that you can do to help you reframe how you think about them. First, let's talk about emotional attachments because of money. Now, like I said earlier, money attachments are, in my opinion, the easiest emotional attachments to break. And I have an easy money formula to help you get over any money attachments. This will help with feelings of, I spent blank on this and I can't give it up. Or money spent on impulse purchases that we immediately regret. Maybe you didn't take measurements properly or at all. No judgment there. Remember, this is a no judgment zone podcast. Or it's something you bought years ago and your style changed. Remember, it's perfectly natural for our styles to change over time. And maybe you spent what you consider a lot of money on an item, so it really feels like wasting when you get rid of it. So here's my formula. Ready? You want to take how much the item you have cost. And just to keep it simple, let's say the item cost $1,000. First, you're going to figure out how long you had the item. For example, let's just say you had the item for 5 years. That would also be 60 months. 5 years times 12 months in a year equals 60 months. Then you're going to take the cost of your original item, which in our case, remember, we said it was $1,000. We're going to divide $1,000 by how long we've had the item. So in our case, $1,000 divided by 60. And when we do that with our calculators, we get $16.66 a month. So on average, if you've had that sofa, that $1,000 sofa for 5 years, that sofa costs you about $16.66 a month. Well, let's break it down even more. We want to divide the cost of the month to figure out how much this sofa costs us every single day. So we're going to take our $16.66 and divide that by 30 days, because that's how many days are in an average month. And that equals 55 cents each day. Only 55 cents a day. So if I were to tell you that your sofa that seems so expensive at $1,000 is costing you 55 cents a day, how do you feel about that expensive piece of furniture now? Could you possibly get rid of it and feel better about that decision? This simple formula has helped many of my clients release their emotional ties to furniture that's been really holding their designs back for years. You can do it too. So again, I'm going to repeat the formula and I'll have it in the show notes as well, of course. You want to take the cost of your item, say it's $1,000, divide it by how long you've had it. So if it was 5 years, that'd be 60 months. If it was 3 years, it'd be 36 months. So you're going to take $1,000 divided by 60, you get $16.66. And then to get the day rate, $16.66 divided by 30 days in a month. And that expensive $1,000 sofa has only cost you 55 cents each day. Seems a lot easier, in my opinion, to get rid of that. I also, when it comes to money, want you to think about the cost of what would happen if you kept the original item. How much money could you waste over time by going down a design path that you don't want to go down? So if you're saying, well, I bought this and now I have to keep it and make everything go with it. Well, now you're actually wasting what feels like even more money. Because if you don't really love this item, and I do think you should love the pieces in your home, then you're matching furniture and designing a room around something that you don't even want. That, to me, sounds like not the best use of our money. If you feel comfortable and you're ready to part with it, then you have a fresh start and you can create the room you love with pieces you love. The next type of emotional attachment I want to talk about is emotional attachments because of guilt. These are things that you might not want, or if you don't like an object, but you're keeping it because you feel guilty throwing it away. Maybe a family member gave this to you, which is so nice of them, but it might not be working for you. It might not be your style. It might not fit your space, but you feel guilty parting with it. This makes it hard to decorate and design around a piece of furniture that you don't love. So think about it this way. Would you want to furnish a whole room to match a piece of furniture you don't even like? Yes, I realize I said this in the part about money, but it's worth repeating. And repetition is the mother of learning. So I want to get this point across to you. And I have dealt with this too, so just know that you are not alone. When you inherited furniture, art, or something else, and you feel guilty about getting rid of it, you could choose to think of it in another way. Would this family member who gave you this piece really want to hold you back or have you keep something that you don't like? Our families love us and want the best for us, right? I like to think so. So do you really think this relative would want you to feel unhappy about something that causes you stress? Would you want to do that to your own children or another family member and make them feel guilty? I like to think not. Now, one thing to think about, and I want you to sit with this thought for a moment, is that often our relatives give us something because they are emotionally attached to it. And they don't want to get rid of it per se, but they want it out of their own house. So they give it to us. Well, that's really convenient for them, but their emotional attachments aren't your emotional attachments. You don't need to take their guilt and feelings on. Was that statement a little tough to hear? Did it connect with you, and can you relate to that statement? I know I can. And, you know, a funny story that in my own experience with this is my mother, her name is also Sally. She is the most kind, generous woman that I know, and she has given me lots of things over the years. But there are a few things that I've seen now that I can look back and think about it that she might be emotionally attached to something, so her emotional attachments are now impacting my life. Now, in some cases, I'm totally happy with it, especially if it's a holiday decoration. I'm a girl, I just love Christmas. And so some sentimental decorations from childhood, I absolutely love, and my mother was getting tired of putting all the decorations out. But in other cases, looking back, it might not have been something that I needed nor wanted, but I took, and then I did hold on to it for guilt. So 20 something years ago, after we were first married, my mother gave me 2 sets of china. I know, china is kind of outdated now, but back then we were still registering for china. So to my husband's dismay, I registered for our own china set. And then my mother ended up giving me 2 sets. One set was this beautiful blue and white set that we used every year at Christmas, Christmas Eve, and I think Christmas Day. It's the only time we used it because they had to be hand washed. So, you know, who has time for that nowadays? But it was this beautiful blue and white set that we used every year at our Swedish Christmas. And it came from my great-great-grandmother from the 1800s. The other set was a pretty yellow set that was, I guess, my grandmother's at one time. And when she was remarried. And so she gave that to my mother. And then eventually my mother gave that to me, right? It always seems to go from daughter to daughter to daughter. Well, the yellow china set didn't have a lot of sentimental value, but my mother wasn't ready to part with it. So she gave it to me. So anyway, here I inherited two sets because my mother was decluttering. Plus I had one set from my own wedding 20 plus years ago. I know it's a lot of china sets, as my husband likes to remind me of. And do you know that I actually moved all three of these china sets that I never used across the country when we moved to California from the Washington, D.C. suburbs? For what? Out of guilt. Ugh. I finally parted with two sets and kept one. And if you're wondering which set I kept, my wedding set, the yellow set, or the blue and white set from my great-great-grandmother, I kept the blue and white set from my childhood. Because again, I had great memories from childhood using that set for our big Swedish family Christmas meals. And it doesn't take up a lot of space in my dining room server, so I'm okay with it. Even though it's a set for 12, I've got it all packed up nicely in a little storage case, so it's not that bad. But imagine if this was a big, bulky piece of furniture. It would take up a lot of space. It would dictate the design of the room. And it's way more costly to move across the country. I mean, now I look back at how many things my husband and I brought across the country that we did not need to bring. And part of it was, well, this furniture costs this much money. We need to bring it. Here's a sentimental piece. And here are pieces out of guilt. We carried all three types of emotional attachments with us across the country and made our move to San Diego way more expensive than it needed to be. But if you keep some of these pieces, especially if they're big, you can see how it could be a big problem. And you could go down a design path that you might not want to go down, which will end up just wasting more money. Decluttering expert Marie Kondo advises people to thank an item to help you let it go. Show gratitude for it, an appreciation, and then thank it. This is actually a great idea that I've used myself. Her statement of, if it doesn't bring you joy. So I really try to embrace that. And if it doesn't bring me joy, and this goes even for clothes in my closet, there are some pieces from when my husband and I were first dating. Neither one of us want to part with them. And we have room to keep them. They make us happy. But there are certain clothes in my closet that maybe aren't going to fit anymore, or I don't really like the style, and I don't need to hold on to them. It's the same thing with pieces in our home. The fix to this that you could do with guilt is have an honest conversation with your family members about it. In a gentle way, of course, and say, hey, you know, thank you so much for giving us this item years ago. I don't think it's working for us anymore. So we'd like to have it leave our house, to get rid of it, to part with it. What would make you feel more comfortable? Do you mind if we get rid of it? And it's your house, by the way. You get to do what you want, but you want to keep things copacetic with the family. So see if they're still holding on to some of their emotional attachments to it. They can happily take it back. But if you just have the conversation, it puts it out there so there aren't any hurt feelings, because you don't need any more drama, right? And at the end of this episode, I will talk about what to do with these pieces that you are finally ready to part with. Last, I want to talk about the third emotional attachment, and that's that type of emotional attachment is because of sentimental reasons. This is usually the most difficult emotional tie we have with something. We might like the item, even though it isn't working in our house, or it could be that we don't like it, but we can't get rid of it because there's a memory associated with it. We often tie our emotions to items when it has sentimental value. You might be worried that when you let go of or get rid of something, that you're letting go of the memory associated with that piece. This is especially difficult when it's from someone we loved and was important, or from someone that is no longer with us on this earth. But keeping something that doesn't serve us anymore keeps us in the past rather than living in the present. And I love this quote from Marie Kondo. And again, she's so great that she's worth quoting twice in here, is no matter how wonderful things used to be, we cannot live in the past. The joy and excitement we feel here and now are more important. I'm going to say that one more time. No matter how wonderful things used to be, we cannot live in the past. The joy and excitement we feel here and now are more important. Again, I will link in the show notes to Marie Kondo's website, but I do think that is such a great quote to help us be at peace with letting go of certain items. A story I have with a client is emotional attachments definitely are something that has affected my clients. And one of them, oh, I just adore her. She's like literally one of my favorite clients of all time and will actually connect socially. I just adore her. And she is retired, lives on her own, and she finally treated herself to update her home. And it was so exciting for her. When I came there, she hired me to help her buy a new sofa. She had had a Restoration Hardware sofa. Oh, I'm sorry. She had had an Ethan Allen sofa. That was several thousand dollars. And 30 years ago, that was a lot of money. She had a hard time parting with it and was toying between reupholstering it or buying new. Now, I had shared with her that reupholstering costs just as much as an item. And when you're already changing everything about the piece, it's good to buy new and have a fresh start with a new style. So we did that. And we lightened up her sofa, but she had this rug that was very heavy feeling. It was dark and it had dark reds and maroons and blues and some creams in it. But all the furniture pieces that she was gravitating towards, that she was seeing at design centers with me, were light, more coastal colors. That's what she was falling in love with. And we were trying to make it work with her rug. Now, again, she had placed a value on that rug because it did cost a decent amount of money. She loved it, but it was dictating her design. And finally, at one point, I said to her, you know you love this rug, but the rug feels heavy and wintry. But all the pieces you're choosing feel light and like spring. And so you're choosing pieces that feel like different seasons. And that was finally enough to make her realize that, yeah, she's trying to choose fabrics and choose other pieces to fit this rug when the rug was really the problem. So she did end up moving the rug to her bedroom because she loved it. It's a great quality rug. She maintained it over the years, got it cleaned regularly. And now her living room has a beautiful new rug that really works with her space. It's a hurdle she had to get over, but she had to come to it at her own time and when she was ready. And it's the same with you. So this is a good episode to listen to more than once because you might not even realize some of the emotional attachments you have to pieces until you walk around your home. And then it's about thinking, okay, is this a money attachment? A guilt attachment, a sentimental attachment, and then you can start working through that because I want you to feel happy and comfortable in your home. All right, some action time. What to do with furniture or items that you finally are ready to part with that'll make you feel good about letting them go? Well, the first option is you could always sell the item. That might work for you or it might not. Now, sometimes I find that when we have an emotional attachment to furniture or anything we're selling, we place a higher value on that item, a higher monetary value. But the person who's buying that piece does not share that same sentimental value. So they don't put that high of a price on that piece. So if you're going to sell something and someone's going to lowball you or offer you less, then I want you to think if you'll be at peace with that, and you might not. This has happened to me as well, and I'll talk about that in a bit. But if you're going to have resentment that, oh, that person, you know, I sold this to them for that, it was worth so much more, I want you to remember that they don't carry the same emotional baggage about that piece that you do. So it won't be as high of a monetary value. In that case, selling might not feel as good, but I want to mention it just in case. And if you do sell a piece and are able to at a price you're comfortable with, well, you can use that money to help you buy new things, which is a total win-win. But again, I do want you to feel at peace with that. Can you repurpose? So one, we talked about selling. Two, can you repurpose that item? Can you repaint it, refinish it, reuse it in another more functional way? I've seen people turn big entertainment centers into kids' play zones and kitchens. I've seen lots of different ways we can take furniture to refresh it, from chalk painting to having it professionally painted. There's lots of things, adding a new tabletop and keeping the legs. I've had clients reupholster furniture, but leave parts of the original piece. Can you repurpose the item? Number three, can you move this piece to a less visible place in your home? Like my client who moved her wintry rug to her bedroom where it works perfectly. One thing I like to do, and I've done many times, and this actually really helps when you have an item that either you consider expensive or it actually was expensive and you might not get that same value from someone because, again, they don't place the same value on it that you do, is to donate it to a really worthy cause. Some examples of worthy causes that I've personally donated to are orphanages, abused women shelters, veteran causes. All of these feel a lot better than arguing with somebody on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace over $20. If they're going to lowball me that much, I'd almost rather give it away to someone who truly will just be so grateful and thankful for that piece rather than someone who I feel like is just, you know, being cheap on something and trying to lowball me. Think about what causes might be worthy to you. So with my own house, we had had some children's art that was a little more expensive because it came from my design centers and my children used it through the years and I loved it. And what I ended up doing was I contacted my local women's shelter where they were helping women who were fleeing from domestic violence and helping them get set up in their own spaces with their children. They were thrilled to receive some of this adorable children's art that cost me a decent amount of money. But if I tried to sell it online, I would have made a fraction of it. And it felt good to help somebody. We also did this with my children's table playset that they had when they were growing up. I had wanted this eco-friendly playset, and it was definitely a bigger investment. It was partial gifts from my parents and us chipping in as well. Anyway, it was a bigger investment, but I knew trying to sell it, the resale value wasn't there. So I contacted the local orphanage in my area and I asked them. I sent photos of the item and say, is this something you could use in your playroom? And they were thrilled. So we delivered it right there. And this orphanage got this great table and chairs that their little preschoolers could use. It was a total win-win. When you do make the decision to part with an item, think about what Marie Kondo says and thank it and give gratitude for it, how it helped you and served you over the years. And then let go of it knowing that it allows you to bring something new and wonderful into your house. I mean, imagine how it would feel if this big, bulky cabinet that you've had in your family room When TVs used to need to go in big cabinets and now a lot of them are wall mounted, well, you've got this giant cabinet that you just store a bunch of junk in, and it's the wrong color and it just dictates everything in the room. Imagine how freeing it would be for it to be gone and you can start fresh and new with your design. All right, you made it through a really tough conversation. And I hope you stuck around to the end here because I know it wasn't easy. I do think this is an important episode to listen to again if you have some of these emotional attachments. So let's recap what we talked about today. Emotional ties to objects in our homes can be three types: money attachments, guilt attachments, and sentimental attachments. Sometimes an item can be more than one of them, and that's totally okay. I want you to ask yourself why you're having a hard time letting go of this object. Can you repurpose it, sell it, or donate the item and feel good about it? And then I want you to think about the potential your room has now that you've gotten rid of a big stumbling block. All right, so what to do next? Well, hit subscribe and you'll get notifications whenever I release a new podcast, which comes out every Thursday. And if you'd be so kind to leave a review, I'd so appreciate it so I can help more people just like you design and decorate their homes. And then, as you know, I keep the show notes for anything I mentioned in each episode. Thanks for listening and keep listening to Home and Nestorations for more design conversations to help you create a home you'll love. Have a great day.